You have your Bibles with you. Turn to Revelation, the first chapter, please. We all have keys, do we not? You all have keys on you, right? I've got some on me. We all need them. We appreciate them, do we not? Our keys, we do. You know, keys can keep things safe that we consider valuable. You all agree with that, right? We can do that. Also, you know, keys can also keep us from access to those things that we consider valuable also. How many of you ever locked yourselves out of your house or your car? Oh, yeah. See the hands go up for that one. Believe you me, I have too. If you don't have the right key, your feelings may range from anywhere from, you know, embarrassment, like the time I stopped at a newspaper machine and jumped out of my vehicle and the truck was still running. I locked the door, I got the paper and go back, and I can't get in my vehicle. And it's sitting there running. Just luckily, my sister-in-law, Judy, had been off work that day, so she ran down and got the key off the tank. That was fun times had ball, I guarantee you. And you know, or to downright fear of not having the right keys. One time, I took my daughter, when she was just an infant, she's probably no bigger than the baby that Mitch is holding right here. I come out of a department store and I go out to get in the car. Tink's still in there. I open up the car. I put her in her car seat. I shut the door. I laid the keys on the seat and I locked the door. I locked myself completely out of the car. For whatever reason, I did that. And she was in the back seat. I had to break the back glass to get into the car to get to her. Or, you know, and I was thinking to myself, you know, and she's only a few months old. Just luckily, she wasn't in there crying her head off. It hadn't even been that much worse. Believe you, fear went over me whenever I'd done that. And also, I can tell you what, not having the right key could make to a matter of life and death. All of you remember what happened on 9/11, how that some of those people come down those stairwells and they couldn't get to where they needed to go. Why? Because the doors were locked. So they had no way to get out to where they needed to go. So you know what? It could be a matter of life or death. It could be terribly important to have the right key, to have the key. Amen? Will you agree with me on that? That brings me to my text this morning. Revelations, the first chapter, 17 and 18. Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Then it goes on to say, and have the keys of hell and of death. Keys are important. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Father, and just thanking you, Lord, for the opportunity I have to stand behind this desk this morning. I praise you. I want to give you the glory. I want to give you the credit for anything said and done here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would take and open up the minds and the hearts of those here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that we could look into your word, we could understand it, and, Lord, that, Father, that we would be something that we could live by. And we want to give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name. And amen. We serve an awesome God. Will you agree with me on that? We have a God who can manifest himself into three people. Am I right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you something this morning, the scripture that I read to you this morning. Jesus is the turnkey. Jesus is the master key, so to speak, if you want to say it that way. The one who has charge of the prison keys, he is the holder of the key. Amen? I'll tell you this way. Jesus has the keys to open and shut the doors of hell and of death, and those keys symbolize the authority that my Lord and Savior has. Can I say that this morning? I want to tell you something this morning. The God that we serve through His Son, Jesus Christ, has given Him the authority over death and hell, and I praise God for that this morning. You want to talk about, you know what? It's important to have the right keys. Amen? In the Old Testament, the holder of the key had the power to admit and to deny people into the house of God. They were called gatekeepers. I want to tell you, the prophet Isaiah said this when he said, talking about his son, Isaiah 22:22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulders, and he shall open and none shall shut, He shall shut and none shall open. I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of death, and when they open, no one can shut it, and that he shut it, no one can open. And praise God, the risen Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, holds the keys of David's control and the access to heaven. Can you say amen to that this morning? I want to tell you something, brothers. Listen, also by overcoming death, Jesus has the keys to hell. Will you agree with me with this? Brothers and sisters, the devil doesn't even have the keys to his own apartment this morning. He doesn't even have it. Praise God, because you know what? My Lord and Savior has the keys this morning. I tell you, when I was reading this about this sermon, I just about jumped out and shouted at the house. Praise God, because the Lord and Savior, He has the keys to all this. John 10:9 tells us, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Jesus is the door to repentance towards Almighty God. You know, He is the door to reconciliation with God the Father. There's no other way that you can find repentance only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He is the door to the love of God. He is the door to the family of God. I've said this and I'll say this. There are people out there that say that we're all family of God. That's a lie. We're not all family of God. The only ones that are family of God are those who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're all creations of the living God. He is a door to the fellowship of God, the Father. He is a door to the presence of God, the Father. He is a door to the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is a door as a free entrance to all. All. Let me get that to you straight this morning. Anyone can have entrance through Jesus Christ. All you have to do is accept Him as your Savior. The most important keys in the world are the keys to hell and death. You know what? It is through the suffering and death of Jesus Christ and the cross and His resurrection that He enabled Jesus to be the key. Obtain the key to that. Jesus said He alone has the power to say whether or not an individual can be admitted into heaven. Jesus Christ alone has that power. Your passport into heaven. Listen to this. Your passport into heaven, brother, and you have the visa stamp of approval signed by Jesus in His precious blood. That's the only way that you and I can have salvation in our lives right here. The only way. In order to be bound, it took the sacrificial death of Jesus to do that for us, to turn the key to open heaven's door. No sinner can enter in. No sinner can enter in without the key. And that key is Jesus Christ. Death could not hold Jesus. Hell could not hold Him because He is the holder of the keys. When He died, He went down there and He got the keys. And brothers, I want to tell you something this morning. He still has them this morning. Jesus said this in John 11. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Holy Scripture is not gender specific. Brothers and sisters, He means man or woman. Brothers and if you want to serve Jesus, if you want to be, brothers and sisters, all you have to do is accept Him as your Savior. It is though, you know what, it's thought to use the keys we can gain access or entrance into an area, right? I'm here to tell you this morning, without Jesus Christ living in your heart, heaven is off limits to you. Amen. Oh my. I'm telling you, that's what, you know what? Sin will jam the keyhole. That's what happens. Sin jams the keyhole and blocks the individual from being able to get into heaven. That's what happens. Sin does that to us. The good news is that Jesus unlocked the door. He shoved out what was ever blocking it. And then you know what? Jesus, having defeated hell and death, listen to me, has the authority to say, as He did to Lazarus, you know what? He told Lazarus, He said, come forth. And I'm telling you right here today, if you're dead in sin this morning, if you're sitting here today and you do not know Jesus, Jesus is calling to you and telling you to come forth this morning. You know what? I don't care if you come up here and get at this altar, but if He's dealing with you in your seat, He can save you right where you're sitting this morning. He can do that because He's that kind of a God. He's that kind of a Savior. He loves you enough to die and go take the punishment of the sin upon Him. And praise God this morning, He loves you. And I'm telling you, He's telling you this morning to come forth. He's telling you to come forth. Is Jesus talking to your heart this morning? Is He doing that? Telling you to come forth? Forth for you to see? There is no other way. John 10:1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Jesus has the key. That's the only way. You can't get there no other way. You can't get there from here. Can I just tell you that? You can't do it without Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:9, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Oh, Jesus was talking to Peter here. He said, I give you the key to the kingdom of heaven. He was telling Peter, I'm leaving you as my representative on this earth whenever I go. That's what he's telling Peter. It was not going to be long before Jesus was going to be crucified, buried, risen, and then ascended back to the Father. It would be imperative that Jesus departing this earth would leave a representative. And he left Peter as his representative whenever he told him that. If you look at that, he's talking to Peter right there specifically. But I want to tell you something. It even goes beyond that. It even goes beyond that. He made it known that who could enter into the kingdom of God. Also, he also did it to the other disciples also. I believe it was over in the 18th chapter. But the reason why he did that to Peter was, whenever Peter confessed, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus knew right then and there. He knew it. He said, because Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to him, didn't reveal it to Peter. But you know what happened? On the day of Pentecost, whenever the Holy Spirit came upon him, I want to tell you what, nothing could stop Peter from spreading the gospel then. You go all through the book of Acts, Peter started spreading the gospel, letting them know about what was going on, and to spread the message. And he told the other disciples the same thing. And I want to tell you something else today that I believe. I believe that those keys have been passed down to the church today. Because Peter's gone and Jesus is gone. They're all there. Jesus is in heaven. Peter's in heaven. Who's his representative today? We are his representative today. The Great Commission tells us, the Great Commission tells us that we need to go into all the world preaching the gospel. Amen? I believe when Jesus was talking to Peter about whosoever, I tell you what, thou shalt bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. I believe it symbolized authority. It's not only Peter and the other prophets, but I believe it's the church. We have the keys, brothers and sisters. And I want to tell you something, Drift Run Church this morning. Praise God. We have the authority this morning to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter what the world wants to say. We have the authority. Praise God. Don't let the devil lie to you. I like what Ryan was saying this morning, how the devil likes to come against you and tell you what kind of a failure you are, and that you can't do this and you can't do that. I want to tell you something this morning. The devil is a liar. He is the king of liars, is what the Bible tells me. And I want to tell you something this morning. Praise God. Don't listen to him, because you are worthy. If you are a child of God, you are worthy this morning. Drift Run, we have the power. We have the authority. We have the keys through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to change lives. Christians, we are the only ones that have the power, that message that can change people's lives. Do we understand that? I believe prayer changes things. Do you not? Will you agree with me on that? Not meditation to Buddha. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble here. Not bowing down to Mecca 5 times a day. Not reaching Zen for self-centeredness and enlightenment. I don't have to go and confess my sins to a priest every week. Praise God. Hebrews 4:16 tells me, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I want to tell you something. In Psalm 65:2, if you get the chance, mark this. Psalm 65:2, it says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Did you know that was in there? Did you know that that's what... In Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayers, he's talking about God, unto thee shall all flesh come. Brothers and sisters, you tell you what, that tells me right there, if we have a petition, we take it to the true God. We take it to the one and only God. We don't take it to everything else I hear the world tries to put out here. As Christians, we have the keys, the power source. You know what? Some treat God like some college students treat their parents. I said some college students. Now, don't jump me after church about this one. They only get a hold of their parents when they have a need for something, right? That's how sometimes we treat God sometimes like that. You know what? We're going along life just fine. We have no need to talk to God. But just the moment that we need something in our lives, you know what? Then we want to get on our knees. Then we want to fall on our faces and say, God, Lord, I need your help now. Why can't we praise Him in the good and the bad times? Why can't we not go to Him and talk to Him every day of our lives and tell Him, God, you know what? I may not need a thing today. I'm just here to praise You. I'm just here to thank You for what You are. Brothers, I tell you what, thank God, we need to be in touch with Him. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. There is power in prayer, and I cannot say it enough to you. There is power. It is a key. We have the keys to true praise and worship also. Do you know that? We have those keys because when we praise and worship God and His Son Jesus, God is there. It says in Psalms 22:3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praise of Israel. I feel like, I like feeling God's presence. Do you not like feeling God's presence whenever you worship Him and praise Him? I love feeling God's presence. I love His Holy Spirit. Whenever, you know what? Whenever it comes upon you and you know that He is there, He's coming, He's supping with you. I love that. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a salvation I couldn't feel. Amen. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for it. I want to feel the Spirit of my life. I want to feel God's Spirit flowing over. I want to feel it, and I know that He can. The Bible tells me without the Spirit of God, you're none of His. That's not me saying it. That's the Word of God. Listen, we got that. You know what? Because when we praise and worship God, He's there. I feel like we have the keys of fellowship. The keys, listen to me. The key is very important. You know what we do? We feed our natural bodies 3 times a day. Do we not sometimes? We feed them because they try to keep us healthy, try to keep us our nourishment up. But why do we give our spiritual bodies a little snack once a week and that's about all we want to do for it? And then we expect to grow spiritually. Then we expect to be this man. But you know what? We need to feed our spiritual bodies. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. What day do you see approaching? What is he talking about there? As you see the day approaching, as we see the day of the Lord coming, folks, that we're getting close. Preachers have been saying it for years. You know, and I've heard people say this at work. They say, you know what, there have been people saying that for years. The Bible talks about that. The Bible says that. He said there's going to be those that said that. Where is his coming? Where is it at? Has this not been the same for years? I'm telling you, one of these days he's coming. He's splitting the eastern sky. He's coming back to get his church. Are you ready? Are you ready? We should honestly care, folks, as Christians. We should honestly care. I love greeting. I love greeting you every service. Do you know that? I love standing out there. I love shaking your hands. I love asking you how your day's going or how your week's went. And I want to tell you something. I believe that as Christians, we should honestly care whenever we ask that question. Do you agree with me on that? It isn't just lip service. It isn't just, as Christians, it should be not. Romans 12:15 goes, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. We, as Christians, should be that way. We should not be lip service. As a church body, you know what? It shows we really do care. Amen? It shows that we care whenever we ask how your week's going and how your day's going. It shows, as Christians, that we care. And we should care. And that's the key to spreading God's love. Amen? That's what it's about. And we have the most important key of all, to spread the message of Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, you do not hear, you know what? You will not hear or read the Word of God without it changing you in some way. Either for the good, either for the better, either for the better or for good, either for the worse. Whenever you hear God's Word upon your life, you will never be the same. Because you know what? God's Word can soften the hardest heart, or God's Word can make the hardest heart harder. They can do that. It can do that. But you know, Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. I'll tell you one time, I was lost. As a 16-year-old boy, I was lost as lost could be. And I want to tell you something. I heard God's word. And whenever His word came into my heart, it broke me. It broke me. I knew just exactly where I was at. I knew just exactly. That preacher preached it, and I knew just exactly that I was lost. I knew what was going on in my life. And you know what? When I got on my knees, it broke me into pieces. And I know whenever I got saved and the Spirit came rushing into my life, that praise God, I knew I was never going to be the same again. You know what? I went home, and you know what? My mom and my stepfather knew just exactly there had been a change in me. They knew it. I didn't have to tell them. When I walked in that door, they knew it. You know what? As my life went on, you know what? All I wanted to do was read my Bible and get to know God more. His brothers and said, can I tell you this? When we put all this together that I preached about this morning, you know what, church? We have the keys. We have the keys to the Ferrari. We have them. Amen? We got them. Why can't we not tell people about it sometimes? Why should we hold back? Why should we not let them know that, you know what? You know what? We've got something that can change your life. We got something that can give you peace. No matter what storm's going on in your life, you're still going to have storms, no matter what. But pray God. Jesus said, I will be with you to the end. I'll go with you, whatever the storm may be. I tell you what, thank God. I am thankful that it said in Revelations, when it said there, in that last part of that, it said, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. You know what? Our Lord and Savior's got it all. He's got the authority. Praise God. And I tell you what, He had it then. He's still got her today. He's still got her today. If you're sitting back here this morning, I don't know your hearts, and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I beg you, and I say this often, don't walk, run up here. Let's get on our knees and let's pray and let Jesus Christ come into your heart. Let's do that. They come and get a song.